an NITV radio podcast. For the full program, visit sbs.com.au/NITV radio.
My brief for tonight was to talk to you about existing representative structures in New South Wales and their potential role in advising and negotiating with governments and parliamentarians and other stakeholders in relation to treaty. Last year, the New South Wales Aboriginal Land Council actively participated in the unprecedented gathering and consensus of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander leaders that delivered the Uluru Statement from the Heart. We hosted the New South Wales dialogue that fed into the National Convention, and while that process was not perfect, we are strongly supportive of the resulting call for truth-telling, a voice to Parliament, a Makarrata, or for want of a better word, agreement-making. In this state, we are joined in the call by our other community-controlled peaks, the Aboriginal Legal Service, the Aboriginal Education Consultative Group, ABSEC, Aboriginal Child and Family Community Care, State Secretariat, Link Up, and the First Peoples Disability Network. Our many voices combined to a collective voice that is the Coalition of Aboriginal Peak Organisations, otherwise we're calling CAPO, is together. We collectively have over 200 years of advocacy experience for our people. And yet to date, for the most part, governments have overlooked this ready-made resource, or even worse, have sought to sideline our Aboriginal community-controlled voice. We are looking to change this. We are seeking to reset the relationship with the government, the parliament, and the whole community here in New South Wales. We see this as being consistent with the national call under Uluru for Makarrata, and sadly, with the prospects for meaningful and consistent approaches across jurisdictions, we see this as the most practical way forward. But we still don't own the call for Makarrata, and we cannot walk the road alone. It is a call and a walk that others must join us, from our communities and First Nations to the broader community and each and every one of us that enrich this diverse land. But only First Nations can talk for First Nations. But agreement making, the coming together after the struggle, can only occur with truth telling about that struggle. I'm not going to revisit the struggle, but it is fitting that we are having this conversation in this place, the nation's oldest parliament with its less than 200 years, at essentially ground zero for our peoples, whose history stretch back over 60,000 years and further into the dream time. For it is right here where the struggle began, and just down the road in Redfern, where arguably the truth-telling started with Prime Minister Paul Keating's admissions about murders, about the dispossessing of traditional lands and the smashing of traditional ways of life, the longest history of which was endured here in New South Wales. But Redfern has also been a focal point for our survival and revival, giving birth to much of the modern movement for Aboriginal rights, the Aboriginal Legal Service in 1970, and the New South Wales Aboriginal Land Council. The New South Wales Aboriginal Land Council was first convened when over 200 community leaders met at the Black Theatre in Redfern on the eve of the 1977 Rugby League knockout. Yes, the knockout. From this auspicious beginning, the New South Wales Aboriginal Land Council and the Aboriginal land rights movement has grown. In 1983, in this place, the landmark Historic Aboriginal Land Rights Act was passed into law. This legislation is still, we believe, the envy of our brothers and sisters in other jurisdictions here in Australia and around the world. But before the politicians amongst us here this evening get too self-congratulatory or complacent, let me be very clear. This is not the end of our journey together. In fact, in New South Wales, while we've endured the longest history of our struggle, we have built our own community's resilience with community institutions and infrastructure that is just as resilient as our people. In many respects, we have a good start on other jurisdictions. Speaking for us, we have worked hard over the last 40 years to grow and strengthen the Aboriginal land rights system and make it fiercely our own. Sure, we've had and we still have challenges, but we've had a great many successes too. We now have 120 local Aboriginal land councils providing democratic governance and representative voices to our communities across the state. We have a membership of over 25,000 individual Aboriginal members that is inclusive. It's open to all Aboriginal people over 18 years. We have responsibilities to protect and foster the best interest of all Aboriginal people, be they our Land Council members or not. And we have the democratic institution that is the Council of the New South Wales Aboriginal Land Council. 9 elected full-time councillors from across the state charged with custodial duties to further Aboriginal rights and manage our financial independence for future generations. But again, there is much more to be done, and we are not on the journey alone. No other Australian jurisdiction has such far-reaching and well-established systems for Aboriginal governance and self-determination, and it begs the question why we are lagging behind other jurisdictions in this area. Coming together, though, requires the participation of all, within and across our communities, and across the whole community of New South Wales. Sadly, so far, our generous vision of a reconciled future has not received the support of government. This is yet, unfortunately, another backward step in the history and harm of hurt of our people in this state. Like all communities, ours have many diverse views. Our history of dispossession and deprivation has at times led to the intensification of these divisions. But our way forward has to be inclusive. The New South Wales Aboriginal Land Council and its extensive network and membership can play a role in supporting Aboriginal communities and government, the Parliament, to prepare for and progress these discussions. We can provide a framework for engagement with our communities. Disjointed and incomplete reforms from the Ochre Aboriginal Affairs Plan and the still pending 35-year promise of proper Aboriginal culture and heritage laws sidestep the frameworks provided by our community-controlled organisations and indeed the UN Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples, and as a result, skirt around the meaningful structural change that's needed. The government or parliament, no matter how well-intentioned, no matter which political persuasion, cannot in isolation or on selected consultation make reforms that deliver our people our rightful place in our own community. So we must be the agents of our own destiny and must be at least genuine partners in the process to achieve this aim. As the statement from the heart identifies, when we have the power over our destiny, our children will flourish. They will walk in two worlds. Their culture will be a gift to their country and all Australians. So let the record show we have never ceded our sovereignty and it has never been extinguished. Yet we are open to sharing our 60,000 years of culture and sovereignty. But it will take all Australians to walk with us and to talk with us. In New South Wales, the Aboriginal Land Council is ready to start that journey and start that discussion. But it must start with our communities as equal partners in both the design and delivery, and it must be inclusive and accommodate all Aboriginal people, First Nations. And we encourage all people, particularly those that are members of this place, to join and commit with us in that process. Walk with us. Thank you.
This was an NITV radio podcast. For more, visit sbs.com.au/NITV radio or download the SBS radio app.